Browns in the past. It's a great opportunity for them to be able to hear again on the auspicious occasion of the Master, Lord Krishna. We all know the last part of the day, and shall be so until the next avatar emerges as ordained by the Divine Master. The Divine Master has stated that with the advent of Lord Krishna, the regime of Lord Rama was over. It is now the regime of Lord Krishna, which is to continue till the next avatar comes into the world. This is the phenomenon which I bring to light for you. Humanity at present is doubling and bleeding after the never heard of acts of violence and terrorism in the history of mankind. It is not perhaps wrong that terrorism and cruelty have become virtues. Nowadays, however, it is the fortune of humanity that the divine building emerges for the status of charity of almost the same status of an avatar to mend the wayward mental tendencies of mankind. It is seen to be determined to be a weak occurrence and picture of this state, and this happened in 1944. Active in his work, he entrusted by the man and shall be there till the emergence of a new avatar when divine needs so. We all know that the Ramchandraji Maharaj of Shahjahan was born on 30th April 1899 and has left his mortal body on 19th April 1983. The period of life of our beloved Master Babaji, we can see, is just not coterminous with that of the special personality. The physical form of Sri Ramchandraji Maharaj was utilized by the Grand Master Lalaji Sahib to carefully structure and carve out a personality, and nature was waiting to use such a person as a special one to guide the erring humanity. It is guiding humanity since then and also attending to such works entrusted by nature. It is the impedance of all the accidents of natural path that it is functioning more effectively after he shed his mortal body in 1983 from his true astral plane. However, he left his mortal body in 1983. Many started seeking for a person who is living in the physical plane who can replace beloved Babaji Maharaj. That he was the president of SRCM and there should be a succession of president in SRCM is undisputable. However, there can be no succession for the status of special personality or the master, as we dearly call him, is the elementary gnosis. ISRC has answered this point several times. It is about 16 years of functioning, and the answers are available for those who really seek in our websites also. However, recently it was brought to my notice that someone from a European country asked us as to who is the master now and whether women are eligible for being a master, etc. I shall share today some of our clearly stated point of view. The question of the need for a living master is raised by many, almost implying a demand that a master, in order to be a master, has to be in the physical plane. For persons who understand that masters work even when they are in existence in the physical world, from astral plane only, there is no difficulty to accept the living master by virtue of their experience and experiences irrespective of his physical existence. If anything, the master's grace in the form of pranabhuti has been proved beyond doubt, does not suffer the limitations of any physical form barrier to it. Form and name are basic binding factors in our thinking, which prevent our breathing, our liberated status. But from childhood, we are taught in schools and colleges to identify persons, objects and patterns by their form and name, And this pattern of thinking makes me think that consciousness also should have a form and name. In this context, it may be useful to remember the statement of Lord Krishna as quoted by our Master in his letter to Dr. K.C. Vargachari, DS335. I am reminded of Lord Krishna's predictions, intercommunicated to me some time ago, that the time has not yet come for the people to have a full understanding of your existence, though it shall definitely come, but when you have given up the material form. This makes it amply clear that Sri Ramchandra ji, whom we all feel every moment of our life through the practice of constant remembrance, is a living master, though he shed his mortal coil, and is a form that is formless, universal presence responding to the cries and needs of persons by whatever name it is called, and that is felt by us, not in the physical one. We need to accept the function of the Guru as Master has given it to us, as descending through the disciplic succession from Lord Krishna. It is stated by the Master that his Master communicated to him with the effect that all initiation shall be effected on my hand, and their connection shall be invariably with Lord Krishna. At time of initiation, a promise will be made to the effect that all that Lord Krishna has enjoined as matters of principle shall be observed by the initiated persons, EH182. Most of the aspirants should be knowing the difference between the introduction to the system of practice and spiritual initiation. Thus, not only the Master is on record to say that he is the living Guru, but Lord Krishna is the Jagat Guru. Guru is not an ordinary man. That is why we celebrate the appearance day of the spiritual masters. It may be noted that here the words appearance day are used instead of the usual birthday. Appearances are the only things that happen in the physical world to the great masters, as otherwise they live, move and have their being in the astral and divine realms. In a sense, they were never born, nor will they be dead. They are eternally living divine entities, discharging their duties and functions as assigned by the divine. Lord Krishna, the Jagat Guru, functions now as he did during his physical life on this planet. He has taken note of the emergence of the spiritual personality and is in a sense working proxy through the great master Sri Ramchandra ji Maharaj of Shahjahanpur, who will be eternally working for the cause of the divine. We are worshipping our master as he is, a few via medium to see Krishna. Master wrote in his letter to Dr. K.C. Vasacharya, EH428, that Lord Krishna appeared before you in dream and has given you a very wide transmission also. He also stated that Sri Krishna disappeared because he felt that you have got the difference between him and the master. Thus, there is no difference between the Lord Krishna and the master is fully established. Therefore, it may not be wrong to say that he is worshipped as Sakshat Krishna or directly Krishna. It is morally and spiritually wrong to consider such a guru an ordinary man, and it is also totally inappropriate to consider any ordinary man as the guru. Our master classified the types of gurus and never brought the concept of a living guru there. There are five types of gurus according to him. We know that our master and grandmaster belong to the category of Guru Adli Padli, meaning that they are born gurus of the highest type. Every seeker has the opportunity of realizing his or true nature and by a total dedication to the aspirant, take refuge only in him and every seeker has the opportunity of realizing his or her true nature, and by a total dedication to the path of the divine, become a firstly guru and assist humanity to work in harmony with the divine. Such gurus, having gone beyond death during their physical lifetime itself, never die and become dead. They are the ever-burning torches showing the brilliance and beauty of the divine. The argument for a living master is based on the assumption Because the original master is a dead guru. It is necessary to prove this statement. One has to show the state of Atmanirbhar is dead in all planes, such that he cannot deliver his blessings to us. The clarification given by the master to Dr. K.C.V. and the experience of many of us disciples of the master Sri Ramakrishna Maharaj at Rajapur testifies that the masters function from higher planes than the physical, and they are capable of communicating and transmitting. To receive transmission, it is not necessary to have a physically living master around us. Many disciples of the master try to push the ultimate in favor of the living guru life, implying that our beloved master is now a dead guru, and no one can take shelter under him anymore, and that he is incapable of doing any spiritual service now. It is not true, of course, and the master has quoted Lord Krishna's statement that he will be more effective after his physical healing. Sri Ramchandraji Maharaj of Shahjahanpur is living still, is understood by anyone who experiences pranahuti. A true and sincere aspirant takes refuge only in him and feels that his surrender is accepted, is bad truth of experience of many. It was never before possible for a spiritual master to be so vividly present after his physical departure from our material being. There are surely many masters in his lineage, and that is the wish of the great master also. He categorically stated that he means masters. Not all claimants are necessarily of that standard, since one has to be qualified. Any true master will not try to say, leave alone attempt to prove that the great master is dead, as the concept of death itself is alien in the field of spirituality. Where and how one lives in the different planes of existence are all matters. A master in the lineage or order will simply present the message of his spiritual master, and the spiritual master will live through him, and this fact should be understood by all spiritual aspirants. The masters are self-efficient and have their authenticity not by virtue of a group of persons governing an institution or by any other agency than that of the divine order, which follows self-individuation. It is completely apparent to any non-invious person to understand that Sri Ramchandraji of Rajapur is empowered by Sri Krishna and revered Lalaji Maharaj. This message we try to pass on through our publication Ganga Jamuna, issued last year on the auspicious day of the Master. From time to time, odd and mystic notions about pranahuti, ISRC has effectively proved through its research that it is not so, and the nature of pranahuti was brought to the public view without any prejudice. Our books and publications on this topic are available in the internet, and anyone can study them. Certain concept regarding guru is thought to be explained in this context. Traditionally, the role of the guru is to give diksha. Diksha is a unique and rare process of making the life of a disciple more pure, more enlightened, and more successful. Generally, a human being remains under the sway of bad karmas of past lives, which do not allow him to make the desired level of progress in spite of hard work and sincere efforts. In such cases, nothing can work better than to receive diksha to remove the painful effects of past karmas and propel the aspirant onwards on the path of success. Just as the cloth has to be washed thoroughly to free it of stubborn stains, similarly diksha is a method adopted by a guru to free the disciple of his mental, physiological, and physical drawbacks so that he could make good progress with a free mind in the spheres of spirituality and materialism. Diksha is the foundation of a disciple, the fuel of a spiritual life, completeness of the mind, and the path to reach one's destination. The act by which teachings are given and by which all kinds of animal instincts are sought to be demolished, which is granted by the guru, is charity. In charity is known as diksha. It is not my desire to go into the merits and demons of various paths shown by different gurus. All I desire to state is that in the system of revered Babaji Maharaj, which utilizes the power of pranahuti, the trainer introduces a new energy by means of transfer, thus enlightening him and helping him in sadhana and realization. At the beginning, the transfusion of energy brings in a state of peace, settledness and balance. It is a subtle transfer of the divine energy of a guru into the heart, soul and body of a disciple. This pure energy initiates the process of change in the person will ultimately lead to destruction of all evil and negative tendencies and spark the creative and positive powers which encourage him to strive for the highest and best in life. It is obvious that a man has a twofold duty here on earth, one to preserve his life and two to realize the true nature of his self. To preserve his life, he has to learn to work for his daily bread. To realize his true nature, he has to meditate, love and serve. The guru who teaches him the knowledge of the worldly arts is called the Siksha Guru. The guru who shows him the path of realization is the Diksha Guru. Siksha Gurus can be many, as many as the things one wishes to learn. The Diksha Guru can be only one, the one who leads him to the status of realization. This is the reason we have been insisting on having one and only one, our beloved Master Sri Bhagavati, as our Guru and Master. Several persons of very high spiritual caliber do help us in the path, and we are grateful to all of them, but there is only one Guru. The trainers and masters of the order are all relevant, but our focus and orientation is the real Guru only. It is obvious that the strength of the chain lies in its weakest link. This demands that the links we have, under which we are also a part, have to be strong. That demands a sadhana of a high standard, and the aspirants and trainers have to work hard at it. We are all fortunate to have obtained the diksha or introduction in this system, but for making us attain our goal, it is necessary to free the body and mind of all impurities. The sadhana in this regard starts by implementing the first commandment of the Master. Only when one is physically and mentally pure, does the divine light that is within start emitting struggles, and we gain a glimpse of our true nature. It is very difficult for an ordinary person in the present age to become free of the evil tendencies on his own. For this he needs the help of an accomplished master who could instill his own spiritual power into the person and destroy his weaknesses. Master says, only such a person who can transmit his own internal divine power to the aspirant can be a trainer. This is an act of kindness and love which the master has for us, and it cannot be repaid by any other means than becoming truly spiritual and in turn carry the torch of spirituality into other hearts. It is not any ordinary power or energy that is transmitted, but the original power is the root of creation, which for our understanding may be called Supreme Consciousness. This is what we call Sri Ramchandra Consciousness, more to satisfy our desire to remember Him who is all in our life. But in reality, it is something that is beyond our comprehension. It is such a consciousness that is guiding us. It is guiding the human destiny, now as ever. It is just love, a love that is not possessive and particular. It is love universal, omnipresent and omnipotent. Sri Ramchandra Consciousness breathes through the firmament, and all that it requires to be felt is an earnest longing for Him who loves all. Lord Krishna is called so because He is the Lord and He is the giver of immeasurable bliss. I pray and will consciously that we all live and move in that consciousness of His all manifestation and expression in the eternal present. Pranam to all the master intoxicated co-travelers in the past. Pranam.